So today we're going to be reading out of John 15. And so if you could turn to your Bibles to John 15:1. It says, "I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener." So that has such a visual to me. So me, I am not a gardener. I have a black thumb. And many people in this room can attest to my black thumb. I don't grow things very well. But I'm very, very fortunate because the house that I moved into had an excellent gardener that lived there beforehand, and I get to maintain, which is fantastic. And so that brilliant gardener happens to be my mother. My mother is such an amazing gardener. She knows exactly how much of which plant to put where and next to what plants to make things grow right or to grow better, to grow prettier. And I just don't have that. My dad once came to my house and said, "I like your decorating style. It's early American piles." I just don't have it in me. It's not the gifting that I have, is the make everything look really good together. That's not my gifting, but it is my mom's. She is incredible. So she knows which plants should go together, and more importantly, she knows which plants shouldn't go together, that kill each other. She knows not only that it looks good, she has a vision. She starts out with a vision of what things are supposed to look like in the end. And she has a way of making it all happen like this. Isn't this pretty? Individually, they're all different, but all together, it's kind of a vision of a waterfall of autumn. I love it. It's beautiful. It wasn't my mom. It was somebody else. But I'm saying that, you know, whoever did this put it together in a way that created a picture. And my mom does that in her garden. She creates these beautiful, gorgeous landscape gardens, and I just don't have it in me. I'm very lucky if things continue to stay alive from the spring until the end of summer. It is what it is. But the end result of all of mom's hard work is beautiful. It's a gorgeous picture. In John 15:2, it says, "He cuts off every branch of mine that does not produce fruit. He prunes the branches that do bear fruit so that they will bear even more." Part of the reason that I have a black thumb is because that seems counterintuitive to me. You cut things off and it grows more. I'm too scared to cut things off when I'm doing the gardening that I just end up with a big mess. It's not cultivated. It's not put in a way that makes it produce, that makes it grow, that makes it beautiful. So also I have a hard time remembering to water things, but that's a whole nother topic. In our lives, we need to make some cuts. We need to cut out things that are not producing. We need to cut out things that are not growing. We need to cut out things that are not of God. What should we be producing? In Galatians 5, 22 and 23, it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. It says, "But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control, I miss gentleness, and there is no law against such things." So what are the things in our lives that are causing those fruits to die? It's the opposites. If you want love in your life, you need to get rid of indifference. The opposite of love is not hate, it's indifference. If you want to get rid of joy, or if you want more joy in your life, the opposite of that is sorrow and misery. And if your fruit, if your labors are producing, if your garden is growing sorrow and misery, then it's not producing a fruit of the Spirit. And we need to be making sure that the fruits that we're growing are fruits of the Spirit. If your fruits are turmoil and conflict, then you're not walking the way in the path that you should be walking in, because your fruits are the opposite of peace. We need to be walking in the path that God wants us to walk, so that our fruits are showing the results of our labors. Kindness. What's the opposite of kindness? Meanness. Have you ever been cut off in traffic? And the first gut reaction is, that's not kind. We need to be having our gut reaction, okay, you were needing to be there faster than I was. And that's okay. It's okay. I today was in a cross, a four-way stop, and this school bus went, and then I started to go because it was my turn, and this car almost hit me. It was like close. It was really close, and he was following the school bus. It was not his turn, and I was just like, oh, well, that just happened. But instead of getting mad, I prayed for him, because I don't know what's happening in their life. They could be trying to get to the hospital. We don't know. We don't know what's going on in their lives. But whatever's happening in their lives, that effect does not need to be anger or meanness in me. The fruits of their labor does not need to have an effect on the fruit of my labor. The fruit of my labor needs to be kindness and peace, not turmoil. What's the opposite of faithfulness? Fearfulness. So, if you have faith in something, then if you have faith in God, you're not going to be scared when the trials come, because you know that God has you. So, the opposite of faith is fear. And if you're scared of things, then that's not the fruit of faithfulness. And so we need to be watching our fruit. And if our fruit is not the fruit of the Holy Spirit that it says in Galatians, then we need to be asking ourselves, what do we need to be doing differently? What do we need to be pruning out of our lives that is causing this bad fruit? What is it? Just today, there was a show that I used to watch, and a new season came out. And I was all excited. I was like, yay, okay, cool. I get to watch the show. And I started watching it. And I mean, it's not a bad show by any means, but there were some things that were happening in the show that just gave me a check in my spirit. And I was like, oh, really? But I really like this show. I really want to continue to watch this because I really enjoy this show. And I felt so convicted. I felt like God was saying, is this show more important than your peace? Is this thing that you're doing that you want to do more important than the good things that I have for you? Because if so, go on. Keep living in it. Continue. God wants the best for us. He wants the absolute best for us. And if we continue to do the things that are not causing the best, then that's not on him, that's on us. So, getting back to John 15:3, here's the great news. It says, you've already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. The Word of God tells us what to do. We just have to open it up and look at it. You can't do a whole lot of living by the word, by every word of God, if you're not getting into the word of God, if you're not hearing the word of God, if you're not spending time with God. John 15:4-5 says, remain in me, and I will remain in you. Oh, it's so good. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine, and you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Do you know that God is our natural environment? A fish's natural environment is the water. And outside of the water, he doesn't last very long. He just doesn't. Because a fish needs water to be able to survive. And we need God in order to survive. It's like I said on Sunday, are we really living or are we dying slowly? Because if we're really living, we're living in the Word of God. Birds, their natural habitat is in the air and on the ground. A penguin, when it goes into the water, it has a good time, but it doesn't stay there. It comes back up because the water is not its natural habitat. It cannot breathe there. Humans, as a species, our natural habitat is not in outer space, right? We couldn't breathe there. We need to be in the atmosphere that we were designed to be in. And as Christians, we are designed to be in God's presence. And if we are outside of God's presence by doing things that are not causing the good fruits, then we're not going to be thriving. We're not going to be living to our fullest. So, God is the environment that we are created to live in. And without him, when we have been plucked outside of it, like a flower being plucked out of the soil, it might live for a little bit, but it's going to die. It's going to shrivel up, and it's going to die. It might not be right away. It might take a little bit, but it will end up shriveling up and dying. And that's what happens when we stop spending time with our Maker, is our spirit man starts to shrivel because he's not being fed and he's not being watered. And what we need to do is get that plant back into the environment that it was created to be in, and then it will begin to flourish again. Amen. I think I'm getting a little ahead of myself. Verse 4 and 5, remain in me and I will remain in you, for a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine and you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I remain in them will produce much fruit, for apart from me, we can do nothing. I might have read that twice. I did. That's okay. It's all good. It's the Word of God, so it's good. When we remain in God, we flourish. And what remaining in God looks like is before you open up your phone, you open up your Word. What remaining in God looks like is praying, communing with your Maker, and not just before you eat dinner. Many people, the only time they pray is before they eat, and it shows by the fruits that they're producing. We need to be in communication with our Savior. We need to not just be talking at him, but listening to him. We need to be having time with him every day and talking to him about our lives, our dreams, our hopes, and praying that the Holy Spirit would fill us and show us what he wants us to do that day, because their day, God's day for you might not look like your day you had planned. But God's day is going to be better than the one that you had planned every single time. John 14:26 says, but when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, He will teach you everything and remind you of everything I have told you. If you don't know how to pray, ask the Holy Spirit to help you, to teach you how to pray, and then just start talking to God, because He'll teach you how to do it. There's not A plus B equals C. If you don't do 5 Hail Marys, that's not how that works. You just get in and you start talking to God. And when you start talking to God and you start listening, He'll start talking back to you. We need to spend time in worship. He is our maker. He is the creator of heaven and earth. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning.